friends listening to Irish Radio Network USA. Let's go to law office of the famous Michael G. Dowd, better known to us as Mike Dowd, who indeed is not only one of New York's most prominent criminal lawyers, but indeed has earned a reputation through throughout the United States, and indeed as a great defense lawyer pertaining to many areas, including and his involvement with people like the late Frank Durkin in pro bono work for many of victims of abuse, not only in here, but those particularly during the Troubles in Ireland. If you saw the name Mike Dowd, you would know that this was indeed you're in good hands. His associate down there is a dub, originally indeed from Dublin, Neil McGillivray. Or Gillivray is, I hope we are lined up. Now, are you there? Are you with us, Neil?
I am indeed, Adrian.
Now, you, first of all, welcome to the program. And there has been a lot written and said about the event which is taking place next week, which is garnering a lot of attention, and indeed it is a first, because on next Saturday and Sunday, April 20th and 21st, Fordham Law School will be hosting the Irish Famine Tribunal to examine responsibility of the British government under international law for the horrific consequences of the famine, period. Maybe you can fill us in a little bit on that and what we can expect.
Yes, Adrian. Yes, as you say, it's taking place next weekend, April 20th and 21st. It's taking place in Fordham Law School over two days, being Saturday and Sunday. It begins on Saturday at 10 o'clock, although registration begins a little earlier at 9:30. It runs on Saturday until 4:30 and then begins on Sunday at 11 o'clock and runs until 4 o'clock. Now, it's a free event. We have got a lot of interest in it. We're encouraging people to try and register online. The reason being is that we have a main auditorium which holds in around 250 people, and then we have two other spaces, if you like, they're overflow areas.
Right.
We're encouraging people to register online because the quicker you register, the better your chances of being in the main auditorium amongst the 250
Absolutely.
People.
Nonetheless,
anybody, there will be space for everybody. So, you know, even if people are unsure until the end whether or not they're able to attend, anyone who shows up on the day, there will be space for them.
Great. And this is, again, friends, so you know, the Irish Famine Tribunal will be held at Fordham University Law School. And the address, by the way, is 142 West 62nd Street in New York City. That's right at Lincoln Center, right?
Exactly. That's exactly where it is. And, I mean, in terms of the event itself, I suppose to put it as simply as possible, there has been an ongoing debate for quite some time, and, you know, I think it was sparked again by Tim Pat Coogan's recent book as to whether or not what happened in Ireland during the famine amounted to genocide on behalf of the, or carried out by British authorities at the time. Now, you know, I think there are very strongly held views on both sides, but certainly most of the debate, and just to give you a sense of where this tribunal sprung from, most of the debate seems to have been carried out by historians, and very little of the debate has been carried out by lawyers. Now, not that I'm necessarily trying to promote the role of lawyers of anything, but nonetheless, genocide is a legal concept, and it has a very definite legal meaning, even though most people associate it, I think, understandably, with the Holocaust. Genocide doesn't have to take the form of the Holocaust in order to be a genocide. And certainly, you know, what happened in the former Yugoslavia, there was a tribunal dealing with that. What happened in Rwanda, there was another tribunal dealing with that. And as a result of these two tribunals particularly, we have a much fuller understanding of what genocide means as a legal concept. So a number of us had, I suppose, given this some thought and, you know, came to the conclusion that it would be a very interesting idea to put it to the test from a legal point of view, whether or not the famine was genocide. So we have three very eminent judges who are going to preside, being Judge Fidelma Macken, who is a recently retired Supreme Court judge in Ireland. She was also the first woman to sit on the European Court of Justice, so she's a very prestigious person. We also have Judge John Ingram, who I think a lot of people will know as a very prominent judge here in New York.
New York Supreme Court judge.
Exactly, yeah. And he's presided over many high-profile criminal trials, so he's our second judge. And then we have Professor William Chabas, who is currently a professor in Middlesex University in England. He formerly was the head of the Human Rights Center in Galway, and in, if you like, international human rights circles, he's widely considered the world's leading authority on genocide. Mm-hmm. So there are three judges. We have two teams of, if you like, for the prosecution and for the defense, composed of students from Fordham Law School and also from Dublin City University. And they're going to put the cases before the judges, i.e. the case for the prosecution that it was genocide and the case for the defense that it wasn't genocide. And then the judges will decide, but they're going to decide not simply on the basis of the history and not simply on the basis of opinions as to that history and what it means, but on the basis of the legal definitions and the legal case law concerning genocide. And I think they're going to reach a considered decision as to whether or not, for them, it amounts to genocide or not. And we hope that in the process, it's going to add to the debate that's already there.
Right. And your point is well taken about historians. And we have been very lucky indeed that there has been great research done by historians, because there was a huge period, as we're all aware, there was a lapse of time after the famine, and particularly other items of importance, such as the establishment of the Free State in Ireland. Many throw in a couple of world wars, and that it was information with respect to the famine was sparse at best. We now have, and again, we should acknowledge that great historians, you know, like Christine Keneally and the author Tim Pat Coogan, who incidentally will be there as well, and John Kelly, historians. You have Kieran Murdoch. I'm sure I mispronounced his name.
Yeah, Kieran O'Murcha. Now, as it happens, we have two historians, Kieran O'Murcha and Ruan O'Donnell from University of Limerick. Although I heard from Kieran today, and it seems he may not be able to make it. Something has arisen in the nature of a personal matter, so he may not be there. But certainly, we will have Dr. Ruan O'Donnell. Who I think a lot of people will be familiar with over here. He's an excellent speaker. We're also going to have Tim Pat Coogan, who I think everybody is aware of, and John Kelly, who I think most people
right.
also are aware of, who wrote two excellent, what I think are universally acclaimed contributions to the if you like the what is now a substantial body of work concerning the famine. And certainly, as you say, Adrian, that was not the case for a very long time. I think, you know,
yeah.
you look at maybe the first 150 years or a little less than that, let's say up until the 1990s, there was a really remarkable absence of literature, of history, on the famine. And,
some of
you know,
that, I would have to say, and I think you'll agree, had to do with the fact that the Irish famine, the Great Hunger in Ireland, led to a lot of denial. It was not a topic either in Dublin or Mayo or anywhere in Ireland. That would come to the fore. It wasn't something that would be discussed at the dinner table for a host of reasons, not the least of which would be, you know, survivor guilt, shame. Many of the other either failures or makeup of you know, the Irish in terms of saying we have enough, history of repression and, after hundreds of years without, taking on something as raw and as recent as the Irish famine, the Great Hunger.
No, definitely. No, I agree with everything you've said and certainly... I mean, there's no question that the famine was a hugely traumatic event in Irish history. I mean, certainly I would argue that in terms of modern Irish history, there's nothing that comes close to comparing with it. And even when you look in a broader context, we're well aware of recent famines, for example, the famine that took place in Ethiopia, we're well aware of other
right.
famines, but none of them come even remotely close in terms of people who lost their lives and people who were forced to emigrate. None come close to our famine. And I think because of its staggering extent and nature in terms of the period of time over which it took place and its consequences in terms of death and forced immigration, there has been, or there was certainly a great difficulty in terms of talking about it and addressing it. And one of the things I'm struck by is how differently people here in America and people of Irish American extraction talk about the famine compared to those in Ireland.
Right.
That obviously the experiences are very different ones in that those who were forced to come here, they were undoubtedly victims of the famine, but they were victims in a very different way to those who remained. And I think that as it happens, I think there's a far greater openness and willingness to speak about it over here than there has been in Ireland. But I think it's very important that the two perspectives are brought together because certainly in recent times, I think the different perspectives have led to, if you like, a gap in understanding between Irish people and Irish Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that gap in understanding very much derives from the time of the famine. And whereas people over here have wanted to talk about it because that's where many, if not most, of Irish Americans come from. They come from their ancestors, come from that particular time. On the other hand, in Ireland, people do not want to talk about it and have not wanted to talk about it because once you start to talk about it, there are some very, very difficult questions that are going to be asked about how, if you like, those who survived the famine in Ireland, how they managed to do that. Because I think if you look at the early days of the famine, there's no question that it targeted, if you like, a particular section, i.e. the poorest sections of Irish society. But as it continued, it started to target more and more sections of Irish society, so that by the end of it, there were very few people who were untouched by the experience. And I think that, you know, I've spoken to different local historians about this, including Kieran O'Murchu, another great local historian who's based over here, Pat Campbell, and he is, both of them have told me that when you speak to local people and people who would have, if you like, local memories or be aware of the local memories going back generations, very often what you will hear is that in a particular locality that, well, it wasn't that bad here. And yet, when these historians have gone and have examined the local records, they find out that the memory of the time completely understates the severity of what was happening. And clearly what that's a result of is people immediately following the time of the famine suppressing its memory for all manner of reasons.
It took until 1997 when British Prime Minister Tony Blair acknowledged, as a matter of fact, he stated that those who governed London, you know, at the time, you know, they failed their people through, you know, standing by while a crop failure in Ireland turned into a massive human tragedy. I think that's the first time that we got, you know, an acknowledgement at all, because it was much easier, you know, to accept that this was, you know, this was a this was the work of the Almighty who, you know, sent the plight to Ireland, you know, and the English happened to be there at the time, but that in fact let's put the blame where the blame belongs, and that is, you know, with the Almighty, with God. Much easier to accept if you, as you have correctly pointed out, that the Irish people didn't want to talk about it in the first place, that they had many reasons for denial, and that Irish Americans had every good reason. Indeed, the diaspora had very good reason, considering that, you know, 2.5 million people immigrated over that 10-year period, and that over 1 million died in Ireland. Not an easy topic, not an easy subject, but let's just start with Tony Blair's acknowledgement and statement at the time. What does that tell us?
Yes, what I'm reminded of is, I think it was Stalin's famous comment about, you know, when you kill one person, it's murder. When you kill 1 million people, it's a statistic. And, I mean, I'm not suggesting that the English murdered 1 million people in Ireland, but I think it does go to the point that on that scale, 1 million people dead, 2.5 million people having to emigrate, it becomes incredibly difficult for those who remain and those who follow to comprehend and to understand. And I suppose we're trying to help in a little way with that continuing process. And again, I don't think it's any coincidence that those who have written best about the famine have been those from outside of Ireland, whether it's people like Christine Keneally, or going further back, people like Cecil Woodham Smith, who herself was an English woman, but she wrote the classic account of the famine 100 years afterwards, despite having no obvious connection to Ireland. Meanwhile, Irish historians in Ireland seemed unable address the famine and address what happened. And I think to a large extent that still remains the case, even though, as you say, what Tony Blair said in 97 was unquestionably a watershed moment. I'm not saying simply because he said it, but certainly something was happening in and around that time, and it's no coincidence, again, that so much has been written since that time, because I think for all manner of reasons, people, particularly in Ireland, and particularly historians in Ireland, didn't seem to be able to write about that period until after that time. And maybe it was simply that a certain number of years, whether it's 150 or more, had to pass in order for the wound not to be, not to remain still too raw.
Yeah. And one of the topics and issues and questions that will be asked in the tribunal is, what about the landlords, the merchants, the big farmers, the shopkeepers, the Irish middle class that had to be aware of, what was going on around them? Is there a sense of responsibility? Definitely there are questions that need to be answered with respect to that. I mean, I think you wouldn't have to be of Irish heritage to acknowledge that England failed miserably during this period. But there are other questions that need to be asked as well. And what about those who had more? Where were the middle-class Irish? Did they have blinders on touchy topics?
Very touchy. And again, I think that is another reason for the great silence that followed the famine, in that it's always easy to point the finger elsewhere and to point the finger, if you like, across the Irish Sea, and to blame the British or the English for everything that happened. And in saying that, there is no question that ultimate responsibility did lie with the English government, and there's no question that the English government was hugely responsible for what happened. Now, whether or not that responsibility amounts to genocide or not, that's the purpose of our tribunal. But
yeah, but you have basic questions again. Was Ireland, particularly vulnerable to famine, and if so, why? Relief efforts, and there were, there were some relief efforts. Otherwise, the devastation would even have been worse. Though, when you wipe out close to half the population of Ireland over a decade, obviously there is, the question of genocide has only been. Barely touched on, and indeed there are those who are going to say, listen, what's going to come out of this tribunal? What's the bottom line here? And what do we do with that information? And what is going to result from this that historians have not already told us?
Well, first of all, I would say this. I think what won't come out of it is a recriminations in terms of the English or the British. I genuinely believe that we have moved to a large degree to a completely different place in our relations with England and with Britain, and a far better place. And I don't think what we're doing now is something that could have been done, let's say, 15 years ago or further back again. Obviously, this is a coincidence in terms of the passing of a certain person recently. But going back to her time, I don't think anything like this could have been done, simply because the relationship was such a difficult one at that time. It's not like that anymore. It's the relationship between the two islands and between, I suppose, north and south and different traditions on the island has been transformed beyond recognition in the past 15 or 20 years. And it has, if you like, created a space for doing this. So to me, in terms of what we're looking to accomplish, essentially is a better understanding. And the better understanding is not about what the British did per se, but more a better understanding of us as a people that followed the famine, and a better understanding as to, you know, those that were forced to leave and what it meant for those that left and what it has meant for the descendants of those who have left, and to try and bridge in some kind of way what I think remains a gap between Irish people and the Irish diaspora.
There's another reality. There's another fact that is hard to even imagine, that during this period, 300,000 small holdings simply disappeared in Ireland. Relatively speaking, that is a massive amount of devastation right there, and still that has a tendency to be swept under the carpet as well.
No, absolutely. And I think, you know, it's related to some of the things we've already spoken about. The issue of class is never spoken about when it comes to the famine, because even though, as I say, as the famine developed, it tended to touch all classes of Irish society. At the same time, there's no doubt that of those who died and those who were forced to emigrate, they belonged almost overwhelmingly, or exclusively, I should say, to one class of people, i.e. the people on the lower rung of Irish society. And there were a huge number of people on that rung. We're talking about, when you look at those that died and emigrated in total, you're talking about maybe 3 million people in total, and almost all of those people, or an overwhelming number of those people, belong to, if you like, the lowest class of Irish society at that time, and that's a class that was almost completely wiped out. And it's something that people have not wanted to speak about and have not spoken about in Ireland. And I think not wanting to speak about it has led to this consensus that Britain was entirely to blame. Whereas, you know, when you look at what merchants were doing, what big farmers were doing, what agents of landlords were doing, there's another side to all of this entirely, in that whatever fault the British have, and they certainly bear the lion's share of faults, they were not at fault for things like speculation and profiteering that was taking place in Ireland.
Yeah.
And it was Irish people, not British, Irish people who were doing the speculating, and Irish people who were doing the profiting, while other Irish people were dying and being forced to leave and losing their land.
First of all, I want to thank you for prepping us, you know, for and explaining what is going to take place at Fordham University Law School, 142 West 62nd Street, next Saturday and Sunday. We could also say that this tribunal would not be taking place today in Ireland. As a matter of fact, it would be very counterproductive, and you wouldn't get support for it there. So it is not indeed unusual that some of the historic topics of injustice are indeed addressed in the United States and particularly in New York. I want to wish you lots of luck, and we do know that this is going to be very interesting. Whereas our guest, Neil McGillivray, has said everybody will be welcome. We do know there's a tremendous amount of interest in this. Register, go online to IrishFamineTribunal.com, register HTML, or for further information, indeed, you could contact, I'll give you an easy one, OwenRogers@Mindspring.com. Thank you for your time. This will be another page of Irish history, and it's taking place next week. Good luck to you.
Thank you very much, Adrian, and thank you for having me on your show.
Friends, again, thanks, Neil. You're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA.